community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Mikey's Drive Time on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM, 4:07. Then with James Blunt, 1973. We've got Sam Brown and Stop on the way next. And we've got the man himself, Mr. Allen, in the studio.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone.
So, you've teased me. You've teased me with a couple of teasers. Postcode lottery. Now, we touched on this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, that's the big one this week.
And you're going to give us a bit of an update of what's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, it was the big news of Brentwood in the last week. On Saturday, all the people who had their people's postcode lottery tickets living in the 5 boom, boom, postcode were called down to King George's Playing Fields. Big white marquee had appeared there. Plenty of seats inside. Nice-looking ceremony. And they set about finding out how much they won.
Did they have that bird off the adverts? The one with the big teeth?
They had a woman who wore a red dress who was called Jodie, maybe?
I don't know. Dark hair?
Yeah.
It might be the same one. She's always got big gnashes, hasn't she?
I don't know. I've not actually seen the advert, to be honest.
She looks like she could chew your arm through a letterbox.
I've looked through about 300 photographs from the ceremony today, so I have seen her face a lot, I must admit.
Really? Very pretty girl. Very pretty.
I want to find out her name now, but I haven't got it on the screen in front of me. So look at tomorrow's paper. She's in there.
Let's try and solve it when it comes out tomorrow.
But anyway, all the players, when they went down there on Saturday, knew they won at least $1,000. We were left on that last week. And they started off proceedings by handing out checks to everyone who's there. There's 70 winners in total, which is more than
70?
More than I was expecting. 70, yeah.
Well, that's all right, though, because they're giving away a lot of money, aren't they?
Well, we're giving away a £2 million jackpot. So everyone got issued with a cheque to begin with, and everyone was like, great, I've just won this. I've won the cheques flying around, 20 grand, 30 grand, 25
really?
Grand. Yeah, that's sort of, we're talking serious money. The given was based on several factors, how long they've been buying the ticket, how long they've held the ticket for. Things like that.
I didn't realise the money went up the longer you had the ticket.
That's one of the strands here, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know it this week either.
That's a clever marketing campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah.
But then, as the afternoon went on, they revealed the full postcode, which was CM145EG, and that's Myrtle Road. Just past Brentwood Railway Station. Hacker left off Wally Hill. It's one of them.
Okay.
That was the winning road. So, the people who lived in Myrtle Road and closest to Myrtle Road got the biggest amounts. There were four massive, massive winners. A couple who go by the names of Byron Crawford and Sonia Cunningham. They're engaged. And of these four people...
It's paid for the wedding, isn't it?
Looking out more than that. There were four people in Myrtle Road. They all got 200,000.
Right.
But Sonia had two tickets, so she got 400,000.
£400,000?
And her fiancé, Byron, had a ticket.
So he got another 400?
He got 200.
So they got 600 between them?
They got 600.
She's got the most, though.
She's got most.
She's not getting married now.
He's got 200. They've got quite a wedding coming up.
Yeah, they have.
They pocketed £600,000.
That's a lot of wonga.
A lot of money, isn't it? So they were delighted.
I could imagine they were.
We have spoken to them at length this week. We've got a lovely interview with them in the paper. They do talk about the wedding.
My word.
I think Disneyland was mentioned as well.
I can imagine. The first thing I'll do is go on a bender for 2 days. Well, if you can find me I'm sober, I'll talk to you.
You say that. We've spoken to several people who've won the lottery because we were down there on Saturday and we followed it up all week. We got four pages of it in the paper. That's the front page.
Fantastic, though.
And my favourite one has got to be one of the chaps we spoke to who he started drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning.
You would, wouldn't you?
He won 21,000. We've just put the interview up on the website, Brentwood Gazette website, earlier on this afternoon. This chappie said he was drinking at 11 o'clock. He went from pub one down to like Slug and Lettuce. He was in bed by 9 o'clock. So he definitely celebrated in style. He really enjoyed himself, I think. But it was just a great thing to come to town, really. It's probably never going to happen again. But this was 70 absolutely delighted people who obviously all pocketed
fantastic.
Quite a checkful.
Do you know, I feel really excited when I see someone else getting excited over winning money.
Well, that's what it's been like in the office, really, because the whole team that we've had in this week, the Gazette, they've spent quite a lot of time these past few days just ringing up winner after winner, I've won this amount, I've won 600,000, I've won 32,000, I've won 20,000, And it's just lovely to hear from where I'm sat, kind of opposite the wall, them doing these interviews. And everyone clearly just being so ecstatic, so happy.
That's really good.
It's just good news.
That's fantastic.
A lot of the time, a lot of the big stories we have to run, kind of front-end ones, they're contentious, they're big debates, they're heated discussions.
This is just good
news. This is just people being happy. They've got money. They're talking about, what am I going to spend my money on? Am I getting an Audi? Am I getting a Ford?
Things like that.
It's just people talking positively, looking forward, and just enjoying what they...
I mean, £600,000 between the pair of them, though.
That's serious money.
I mean, that is serious money. As long as you invest it properly, you will have that for the rest of your life.
And if you invest it really cleverly,
you can live off it.
You could be rich in no time.
Yeah, of course you can. I mean, £600,000, you'd do what? £300,000 on a house. Yep. No mortgage.
Yep.
Mortgage-free from the start of a marriage. What a fantastic position to be in. Absolutely amazing.
Aston Martin on the driveway.
Yeah, of course you could. You've got another £300,000 sitting there. You can sit and play with a few, Bob. And
even if you don't go and buy an Aston Martin, you could kind of pay it monthly, couldn't you? You could happily.
Of course you could. I should imagine, if you approached correctly, they would probably lend you an Aston Martin.
As long as
they could advertise that you were driving it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Well, that'd be fantastic.
One guy, before things even started on Saturday, as a spot prize, one guy just walked away with a BMW before he got the check for
£16,000.
Really? Yeah, Chaffee got...
He'll need that to fill it up with petrol.
BMW 1 Series, £16,000. That was really before it even started.
See, this is... ridiculous. I love things like this. It's really good.
Great fun. Some bright futures coming up there.
Now... this hasn't got anything to do with the other subject you mentioned, which were town centre clusters.
Absolutely nothing.
What's that then?
Clusters.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What's a town centre cluster?
One of those
cluster?
Stories, it sounds like if... I think I've said it before, we have all these kind of like work in progress names from our stories back in the newsroom. And these town centre clusters, every time we talk about them, we just sit there and think, right, town centre clusters, what on earth is this? But it's actually they're actually very important, and it's something new that's been introduced in the past couple of weeks by the Brentwood Renaissance Group.
Yeah.
What they're doing, they're essentially splitting up areas of Brentwood into different clusters. So you've got areas such as the Crown Street cluster, which is shops that are based in Crown Street.
Ah, a cluster of shops.
Yeah,
I get
that's
it now.
What it is.
Yeah,
cluster, so it's clusters of shops. So I know another one. Last week was the Ongar Road cluster as well, which is Chicken and Frog Bookshop area. The kind of shops in that part of the town.
Yeah.
And I think there's a Brentwood East, Brentwood West one in the pipeline too for different ends of the high street. But the point of them is each cluster kind of has a head of cluster, so to speak. I think it was a technical term, but I don't have it in front of me. And that person is essentially the voice of that cluster.
Right.
So pressing issue in Crown Street may not be such a pressing issue for traders in, say, Ongar Road. It probably won't be.
Yeah.
I mean, some areas are going to be hit by parking problems, some areas are going to... that sort of thing like that, vandalism, litter, I don't know, any sort of issue like that. The point is that that head of cluster can then liaise with the council, can liaise with the people who kind of make the... about any issues they've got, rather than, for example, it being Brentwood Town Centre says... Brentwood Town Centre trader, for example, says, we have major issues with parking here. Perfect example, that would be. It may well affect people in one area, but people saying Doddinghurst, it makes no difference.
Don't care less,
So they're trying to give voices to traders in different areas, really. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's definitely going to benefit people, shops, businesses in different areas of town. I wouldn't say some that maybe have been forgotten, but maybe some that struggle to make their voice heard if perhaps an issue is not going to be pressing for everyone. So, yeah, another good step forward there, I think.
Have you heard any more... This is just an aside. The high street being dug up again? Because the road outside NatWest is getting appalling. It's just... I'm expecting a crater to appear any day.
It's a really, really contentious issue. We've had a few more rumblings on it. I mean, it's an issue we've covered a lot.
Mm.
And we've done loads of stuff on both the high street, the surface in the high street, and also the pavements in the high street.
Yeah.
They're both a bit of a state. They are both a bit of a state. What's happening seems to be not a lot, but it's an issue that seems to be going around in circles and doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. So every time it gets flagged up again, we sit there and we think, yeah, we've done this story, because we have done this story. We've done the problems with pavements. We've done the problems with roads.
Yeah.
On our list for next week, already I know Piers has already put a few phone calls in about it to try and firm up a few of the things that we've had kind of suggested our way. But from documents that I think one of the councillors did send over to the news desk last week and earlier in this week, I can't remember the days, all seem to blend into one. It doesn't look like Essex County Council got any immediate plans to sort it out.
It's terrible. Directly outside the NatWest there, it's terrible. It's two great big dips, one either side. It's terrible. It really is.
We'll look into it. Next week's Gazette. It's on the list. One to be looked at. We'll see if we can find out exactly where, when, what, why, who.
And that's that area is not actually far from our last little subject today that you hit me with. It's 10 years.
It is, yeah.
It's a long while, isn't it? It's gone quick.
It is a long time, isn't it? If you think about it, well, that would have been 2004.
Mm.
That's a long time ago.
It is, because I knew the previous owners.
Did you?
Yeah.
Before Mr. Norcross and Co.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right. 10 years of Sugar Hut. We've had a bit of a look back at it, really, because it's a very historic building. There's a lot more to it than a lot of people do nowadays. Just know it as the Sugar Hut. It is the Sugar Hut.
Yeah.
Formerly the White Hart Inn. We've got a bit of a rundown and history of it in the paper this week, as well as looking at what it does now. And we had a chat with Mick Norcross about his plans for the Sugar Hut, where it's going in the future, where he wants to take the brand in the future. Very, very. I'm not going to say it's something everyone's going to be hugely interested in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's become a landmark of Brentwood now, hasn't it? It has become a landmark.
Whilst it's got the obvious Towie connection to it, like you say, yeah, it's a landmark. It's a building. It's kind of a building that people even say, if they're trying to say, whereabouts in the high street is it? Oh, well, it's just past the Sugar Hut. Oh, it's
that's right.
The Sugar Hut.
Yeah.
Before or after Sugar Hut, things like that. It's just kind of like one of those places in the high street that everyone knows where it is.
It's nice and central.
So, yeah, what better reason to have a look at it, kind of 10 years of it? They had a big do over the Bank Holiday weekend. Fantastic. They all enjoyed themselves. We've looked back at it. Things, the moments that have kind of shaped it. We've obviously got the big fire 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Havoc in it. And
one of my friends was up a ladder putting it out.
Really?
Yeah.
A firefighter.
He said it was terrible.
He might be in the paper this week.
He may well be.
Whipped out the old pictures again.
Yeah.
But no, it was really interesting, especially from my point of view. I mean, obviously know where it is, what it is, what it does, who goes there. I didn't know a lot of the stuff that I was reading through it when we were putting this feature together. So it goes across two pages. Loads of detail, like 2,000 words of it, I think it was.
Oh, my word.
So good for any Sugar Hut fans, be them Towie fans, be them just history fans, people interested in the local area, really.
Well, that sounds good. All coming up tomorrow, you say?
All in tomorrow morning's newspaper.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.